I'm ready to preach to you today. I hope that you're ready to receive the Word of God. We're going to hop back into our series today, but before I do that, I want to give you a little bit of an introduction, okay? You guys ready? Have you ever met a person who, when you tell them that you're a Christian, they're like, no beep, me too. And then you're like, or have you ever met somebody that when they tell you that you're a Christian, you are completely shocked? You're like, no way. Oh, imagine that. I call them 007 Christians. You know, they're the ones you can't tell that they're a Christian. They've never said a Christian thing in their life. They don't even act. They're not even nice people. And then they're like, but I go to church all the time. Hey, some of the nastiest people I've ever met in my life go to church. There are some other nasty people I've met in my life that don't go to church too, just so you know. I want to just say it this way. I think that we're meant to be more like Jesus and not stay the way that we've always been. That when we fall in love with Jesus and when our life gets touched by Jesus and when he becomes the Lord of our life is meant to change. You know what? If you've ever met that person, I hope you're not that person. You're not that person, right? I hope you're not that person. It's so funny. I got to just tell you, you know, one night I was working out at 24-Hour Fitness when I used to work out there. And I saw a classmate from high school there. And I was a very different person in high school, you know, not in a good way, by the way. And so when I saw them, they were like, hey, how's it going? I was like, hey, how's it going? And they were just asking me, they're like, hey, what is it that you're doing now? What are you doing for work and everything? I said, well, I'm a full-time pastor. And they're like, no, beep. Like, yes, beep. Just kidding. I didn't say that. I thought it though. I totally thought it. I was like, yes way, you know? Over the last number of weeks, over the last few months, we've been covering a series that I've been entitling Shoots We Grow, right? And it's a series that's been a bit broken up by different events and special sermons that God told me just interrupt the series. How many of you guys are glad that I interrupt the series when God tells me to interrupt the series? Hey, you don't want the next part. You want what God has to say. You want the God part of what's being said. We've been talking about how to grow up in the Christian life. I think so many people go to church and then that's it. That's the end all be all. They just start punching their time card every single week. But that's not what God has for us. I want to talk to you today about how to grow up a bit in the Christian life. And maybe you've been in the church for a long time. Maybe you've been a believer for a long time. And maybe you started to grow and then you just kind of plateaued. You know, even in workout or even in dieting, if you want to call it that, weight loss programs, there are these plateaus that you have to break through. One of my great friends that introduced me to the CrossFit style of workout, his famous saying to me was this: shock is what induces change. Shock induces change. Absolutely. You know what? Shock to your body is something that induces change in you. Sometimes if you hit that plateau, then all of a sudden when it's just changing your eating habits is not enough. Sometimes you got to go to not eating. You know, there's a biblical word for that. You know what that word is? Fasting. Fasting is not like preparing a certain type of food. Fasting, in the biblical definition, is not eating. Yes. Not eating. And you know what? Your body goes into shock. It's like, whoa, whoa, what did you just do to me? And then it tells your body, oh, look, all this stuff that you've been storing all these years, time to let it go, buddy. Time to let it go. Throw it on the fire and let it burn up so you got some fuel. And next thing you know, you break through that weight loss plateau. Now, you might have to change some things up and add some exercise or whatever in there, but it is shock that introduces change. Today, I'm going to get out the shocking paddles and shock you just a little bit because we need to change. Amen? I know I've been talking a lot about change, and you know what? It's not just because I need to change, because I do need to change. And it's been on my heart that I need to change. From the time that we assumed the lead pastor of the church, the Bible or the Lord told me this very strong phrase. He said this. He said, move or die. Now, does God talk to you like that? Probably not. He's probably like, son, daughter, I love you so much. And if you would just walk with me in this direction, everything's going to be okay. That's not how he talked to me. He looks at me and he's like, move or die, kid. Move or die. So you know what I do? I move or I die. Because I believe the Lord. And so we've been moving. I've been on a quest to change, to be more like Jesus. I hope that I can bring you along with me. I believe that every one of us needs to change. Here's the thing, though. Growth means change. Growth means change. And you know what? Newness means change. Newness means change. I want to read you a passage of scripture real quick, and then I'm going to give you the title of my message. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, it says this, therefore, for this reason, if anyone is in Christ, he is, listen to this, a new creation. Old things have passed away. That's a euphemism for dead and gone. Old things are dead and gone. Behold, all things, say all things. How many is all? All. All things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. All things have become new. Old things are dead and gone. All things are become new, and all things are of God. I want to give you the title of my message today. Thanks, IT team, for sticking with me. I know I'm making it difficult on you because I'm jumping around. But the title of my message is Shoots We Grow. And today we're talking about the need for personal change. Would you say this to somebody if you're around somebody else, or if you're in your own echo chamber of your own room all by yourself? Say it loud enough that you can hear it. Say this, I need to change. I believe it. You do need to change. And you know what? I need to change. Newness and growth mean change. You know, I want to say this about that scripture, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. You know what I want to say about that? There are so many people that have simply done this. They've added Jesus to their life, rather than allowing Jesus to kill their old life and give them a new one. Listen to that again. So many people have remained the same and added Jesus to their life rather than destroying their old life and letting them have a brand new one. That is not the way that Jesus intended it. He said, old things are passed away. All things are become new. Jesus wants to give you a brand new life, not just be added to the muck that was your life before he met you. He doesn't just want to come into your mess. He wants to destroy your mess and turn it into a message. Amen. I want to tell you today that when we choose to follow Jesus, our old life and our way of living should change. My friend, I'm going to call you out today. I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you, that when we follow Jesus and we decide to make him the Lord of our life should change and our way of living should change. We shouldn't just be the same that we always were, just with Jesus. It's not just rice with shoyu. It's changing to brown rice. You know what I'm talking about? I got so many people that tell me, oh, Pastor Jake, you like to see how I make brown rice? For those of you on the mainland, you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's like adding butter to your grits. You know what I'm talking about? He wants you to change. He wants you to change. Amen? Amen. I'm going to say something that you're not going to believe, but it'll change your life if you'll receive it. You ready? Get ready. If you need to bite down on your neighbor or something like that, bite down on something hard, go ahead and do it. You ready? Here it is. There is nothing from our old life that Jesus needs. Amen. Ooh. There is nothing from our old life that Jesus needs. He don't need your talent. He don't need your education. He don't need your work history. He don't need your resume. He don't need your mouth. He don't need nothing. He is complete all by himself. There is nothing from our old life that Jesus needs. You know, I know some people that are so stuck on this concept that Jesus, it needs my talent, and he's just going to anoint my old talent. What if he don't want your talent? Maybe he wants you to lay it down so that it can be a miracle with what God does in your life. He doesn't need our talent. He's talented enough without us. I would rather it be a miracle. Can you say amen? In Matthew chapter 4:19, he says this, then he said to them, follow me, listen, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. That is a statement of change. It is a statement of production. It's a statement of how Jesus is going to revolutionize our life. Now, many of you have heard me share this before, but I'm going to share it again because it, at every level, it makes a difference, and we hear it and we see it from a new angle. You know, one of those old-time famous sculptors, I don't remember who it was, but it was a sculpture like maybe like the David or the, you know, the Thinker or something like that. And they, somebody asked them, how did you make this statue out of rock? How did you make that? And the sculptor replied and he said, it's very easy. All I did was I removed everything that was not the statue. You see, when you get a big block of granite or whatever, the statue is in there, isn't it? And all you've got to do to reveal what that statue is to remove everything that is not the statue. You know, we've got to allow Jesus to make us into what he wants us to be, not suggest to him what we think we ought to be. Jesus needs to make us. In other words, let me say it this way, follow me and I will make you into fishers of men, or I will make you fishers of men. Jesus will make us into what he wants us to be. My friend, it doesn't yet appear what you will be, but you will be changed. That's what the Bible says. You will be changed. So you know what? We can't look to our past to see who we're going to be in the future. We can't look to who the old person was because he's dead and gone to look at who we're going to be. Yeah. It's important that we realize that Jesus will make us what he wants us to be. I'm going to ask you to do a big thing today. I'm going to ask you to surrender the old life. I'm going to ask you and compel you to surrender your thoughts of who you would be. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you today to let go of the things that you thought and the plans and the things, the way that you planned that you were going to get from point A to point B, and let Jesus take you there instead. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that there was a time when the disciples were in the boat, And Jesus came walking on the water in the middle of the storm. And they had a way that they were going to get there. They were going to open the sails, or they were going to put the oars in the water, and they were going to go on this navigational path, but a storm hit them, and Jesus came walking on the water. And the Bible says that when Jesus got in the boat, immediately they were on the other side. It was like a beam me up, Scotty moment. You know, one moment they were in the middle of the storm. The next moment Jesus got into the boat and boom, they were on the other side. So all of that stuff, all of the navigational plotting that they might have done to get from here to there was irrelevant because Jesus took them from here to there. How long does it take Jesus to take you from here to there? A moment. A moment. I heard it in the congregation just now. Get him in your boat. That's how long. If you'll get him in your boat, he'll take you from here to there. But you know what? We got to throw out the charts sometimes and allow Jesus to be the Lord. If the chart is the Lord, Jesus is not Lord. We've got to let Jesus have control of our direction and our destination. Can you say amen? I want to talk to you about something today, and I'm largely in some ways talking to the church, but for those of you that may not be churched, I think you have a different perspective of things about this same topic that I'm about to talk to you about, which is the topic of relevance. In fact, a lot of times I think that people that don't go to church look at the church and they're like, they're trying so hard, but it's not very good. I want to talk to you about relevance today in a very important way. You know, a lot of times, even within the church and even in ministry, some people think, and many people seem to think, that relevance is looking and behaving as much like those who don't follow Christ as possible without violating the laws of God. That we look at, I mean, you know, nothing against anybody that's got tattoos or whatever. We got a lot of people in our congregation with tattoos. But it's like they get all tatted up so that they can look like the world. They cut their hair just like the world. They wear the same clothing as the world. They do everything. They talk just like the world. True story. I know a pastor, a personal connection of mine, who literally in the pulpit would swear because he thought at that point in his ministry that swearing would connect him and make him more relevant to the congregation. You know what? I just don't swear. I know how. I mean, if anyone knows me from back then, all I got to do is go dig up and exhume the old man from the grave and he'll give you a litany of swear words. Combinations maybe you've never even heard of. But you know what? I don't walk that way anymore because that old man is dead and gone. I'm living in a brand new way. I want to talk to you about relevance today. Church, let me talk to you about relevance today. Relevance is not walking the line so close to being just like everybody else that they cannot tell the difference. That when you tell them you're a Christian, they're like, no, beep. Couldn't tell, brah. That is a shame to a Christian. That is not a badge of honor. It's a shame to a Christian. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 23, God says it like this. I will make a difference between my people and your people. I will make a difference between my people and your people. I know this is super deep, but you know what? If there's no difference, there's no difference. God wants to put a difference. I mean, you got to be different to be different. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just saying be weird. I mean, there's some weird folks out there. But that's not what God is about. He just wants us to be different. You don't have to be weird to be different. Can you say amen to that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 through 11. By the way, if you're feeling like I'm assaulting you today, it's all right. I'm just removing the stuff that is not you. I bet that sculptor was like, oh, you're assaulting me. You're taking off stuff. Don't worry. It's all the stuff that isn't you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 8 through 11, it says this. No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat. You do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, which means very clearly, by the way, that we can be deceived. So it's saying, don't be, because you can be, but don't be. Don't be deceived, neither fornicators. Now, listen, as I list off these things, these are what God says. I'm not making the list. This is what God said. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, well, shoot, I'm on that list. Like lots of times. Now what? I'm out. I can't make it. No, listen. Here's the next verse. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You were, but you ain't. You were, but you not. You were, but you're not that anymore. You've been changed. The old man is dead and gone. Behold, all things are become new. By the way, that word sanctified, it means this. It means to set apart. To set apart. You know, I know that there's some people that they don't do a very good job with baking. And when it says, you know, separate three eggs, they're like, hey, look. That's exactly what sanctification is talking about. Separate, to be set apart. In fact, the connotation or the understanding of it is to be set off by a boundary. You know, it's like when you've got a fence around your yard is sanctified from the neighbor's pooping dog. You know what I'm talking about? Like You want to be sanctified and set off by a boundary. Sanctified means to be set apart. You know, I want to say it very clearly about relevance in this way, that similarity is not the measure of relevance. Listen to that again. Similarity is not the measure of relevance. Well, I thought that's what relevant means. Like, we got to be similar. We got to, you know, we got to jive. We got to get along. We got to be just like one another. That's why you always want to have your friends be just like you. Remember, if you're the smartest one in the room, you're in the wrong room. If you want to be different, you've got to get a different circle of friends. Similarity is not the measure of relevance. In Luke chapter 6, verse 39, it says this, and he spoke a parable to them. And it's such a great example of what I'm talking about. He spoke a parable or a story with a meaning to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Hey, but at least we fall into the ditch together. No, I don't want to fall into no ditch. I want to be able to see where I'm going. Thank you very much. In fact, I want to say it this way, that true relevance is being important. It's being meaningful. It's being significant. It's being useful. See, a blind person, and if anyone out there is blind, I'm not like drilling down on you. I'm just using this scripture verse as an example. A blind person is not the best selection to lead another blind person because neither of them can see. And so it's important that we are important, meaningful, significant, and useful. Is there someone or something that is more relevant to a blind person than another blind person? I think the answer to that is yes. Perhaps the single most relevant individual to a blind person is a seeing eye dog. But the major difference is that the dog can see, when the person may not be able to see. You see, or maybe another relevant person is somebody that can see with perfect vision. I think it was Helen Keller that said something along the lines of, the saddest thing is someone who can see and yet does not see. Man, it's important that we can see and that we can be a blessing to other people. The blind leading the blind doesn't end up well. Relevance is not about similarity. It's about significance. It's about impact. It's about influence. It's about being different. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let me put this scripture into the perspective of relevance. Salt is most relevant to bland food. Light is most relevant to the darkness. Light is not relevant to the light. It is important that the contrast is what brings relevance. The influence is what brings relevance. It's the ability to change that brings relevance. You know, sometimes people get into demon petting contests. It's like, oh, yeah, you have that demon. Oh, I have that demon too. Let's look at our demons together. No, it's not about that. Jesus was like, get out, demon. It's important that our relevance is not similarity. It's important to be different. You know, I don't have a single tattoo on my body. Now, I don't necessarily have anything against tattoos. I just don't have one on my body. But you know what? If I can preach the gospel to you who might have tattoos from the head, top of your head to the soles of your feet and everything in between. I mean, maybe you took your liver out and you got it tattooed. I don't care. If I can say something that will change your life, then I am relevant to your world. Even without a tattoo. Isn't that amazing? See, relevance is not looking just like someone else. Relevance has an ability to change. I want to talk to you for a few moments about the personal change challenge, as I'm calling it, the challenge to personal change. You know, for those of us who call ourselves by the name of Jesus Christ and we say Jesus is the Lord of our life, we have to tend towards personal holiness. Now, before I go on, I needed to have said this, and let me go back to that thing about relevance. You know, so many churches are trying to be a rock concert. So many churches are trying to have, now this is nothing against excellence. It's nothing against having nice things and having the best equipment and all of that. But you know what? If we're trying to match note for note and decibel for decibel a rock concert, why are we trying to do that? When what it is about the church that separates it from a rock concert is the presence of God. I don't care how many lights and how much smoke and how much whatever. You might have the best musicians on the planet playing songs about God. But if God isn't there, what's the difference between that and a rock concert? My friend, the thing that is relevant to somebody who doesn't have Jesus is Jesus. We've got to bring Jesus, not a rock concert. And I love all that stuff. I mean, I am kind of a techie kind of a guy. I like that stuff. I love great sound systems. I love lights and smoke and all of that stuff. But if we have all of that and not the presence of Jesus, how is that relevant to the one who needs Jesus? My friend, I want to challenge us, church. I'm telling you that the world looks at us and they're like, why? If what you've got is so awesome, why are you trying to be like me?
Yeah, that's good.
The world is confused by us trying to be like them when we should just be us. It's like that book that John Mason wrote that said, you were born an original, don't die a copy. We have something. We have the corner on the market on Jesus. That's what we've got. And you know what? For other people, maybe it's not much, but you know what? The Bible tells us this. For other people, Jesus and the cross and the preaching of the cross is foolishness, but to us, it is the power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the cross is powerful. You know, my whole job in the Bible is described as this. I mean, not my whole job, but this aspect of my job, this whole preaching thing. The Bible calls it the foolishness of preaching. Foolishness. That is what a large portion of my job is referred to is foolishness. So I'm okay being foolish as I preach. But you know what? I'm going to deliver to you the word of God and hope that it gets down into your soul. I want to talk to you again about personal change. We have, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we have a need to tend towards holiness. Now, you've heard me say it before that righteousness and holiness are not interchangeable words. They sound similar. A lot of people treat them as the same thing, but they are not the same thing. Let me tell you what the differences are, and they're going to be on your screen if you're taking notes, and I hope that you are. Righteousness, very succinctly, is the position we freely receive through salvation because of Jesus's great exchange with us at Calvary. That's what Pastor Beck was talking about, that great exchange. Our yucky, filthy life for his perfect life. And we just traded seats, so to speak. He gave us that position. That's what righteousness is. It was free. You didn't have to do nothing except receive it. But holiness is our way of living that reflects God's ways. See, you can have righteousness without holiness. Did you know that? You can have this position and live like hell. But it's important that we have this position and that we live righteously. You know what's so interesting is that there are many people that say, but I'm a good person. You know what that is? That's that holiness side. Maybe we live like Jesus in some ways, but if we don't have righteousness, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We need both and, not either or. We need righteousness and holiness. For those of you that have received Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you into a holy lifestyle as I challenge myself to a holy lifestyle. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says this, pursue, that means run after, chase after, hardcore, go after peace with all people and holiness. without which no one will see the Lord. So, Pastor Jake, are you telling me that I can have righteousness and not see the Lord? Well, that's what this passage is saying. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I want to say it in a little bit different way. I want to say it this way. Without holiness, we won't see the Lord, and people won't see the Lord in us. See, people need to see the Lord in us through our lifestyle. They may never hear a word that comes out of our mouth, but our lifestyle ought to tell off on us. The way that we live, it's like they should look at us, and if they know anything about the Bible, or even if they know anything about religion, they ought to look at us and be like, that person has got to know Jesus. I mean, there is no way that anybody lives like that unless they know Jesus. Without holiness, we won't see the Lord, and people won't see the Lord in us. In this last section that I want to talk to you about today, and I'm going to end maybe a little bit early, I want to talk about need-based change. And as I do this, I'm not going to use, I don't know that I'm actually even going to refer to any scripture, although it is all scripturally based. I want to just talk to you a little bit from my heart and about some concepts about the need for change. I hope you've already bought in that we need to change. We need a lifestyle of holiness, that our life is meant to die and to be made brand new by Jesus Christ, and that our lives are meant to be a reflection of who Jesus is. In fact, that's one of the greatest definitions of grace. It is the divine impression upon the heart and its reflection in our life. If you're living by grace, it's not just sloppy agape. It's not just greasy grace. It's not just being forgiven from everything, although it includes that. It is about God's very nature and his very person being reflected through our life to the world around us. I want to talk to you about need-based change. What is that all about? You know, a lot of times we don't change. Anybody ever been like in a rut? Like you've just been the same person like for 20 years, 30 years. I mean, I know some people that have had the same haircut for 30 years. I know some people that look at me and they're like, Pastor Jake, why do you keep changing your hair? Well, because as long as I have it, I'm going to play with it. You know, because someday I may not have it. And then I will look longingly at the past and at the clean seedbed of my scalp and say, man, I should have done more with my hair when I had it. I am not a person who lives in regret. I take life by the horns, you know? It's time to change. We have a need for change. You know, some people are just like, well, I never change. I don't change my hair because I don't need to change my hair. Yeah, but your hair looks like you're still in the 70s. And if I'm talking to you, I'm not really talking to you. It's an example. Yeah, I'm going to keep this mullet until it's back in style. By the way, it is back in style from what I heard. Lord Jesus, next thing you know, we're going to have Jane Child haircuts up in here. We're going to have people with spikes on top, big braids in the back, and we're going to have chains going from your earlobe to your lip, you know? I mean, we do have that already, don't we? I'm just going to stay like this until it's back in style. Hey, look, it's never back in style. I'm sorry. But you know what? We have a need for change. And sometimes people don't change because they don't think that they have a need for change. Husbands and wives, sometimes we don't change, and it's 30 years down the road or 20 years down the road that we've been married and we haven't changed, and but our pants don't fit us anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you used to have that pair of clothes that fit, but now the buttons are like, Lord Jesus, take me home. They're like, I'm holding on. And you know if that button lets loose, it's going to kill somebody. It's time to change. I mean, come up to the times, you know? And it's important that in our person, in who we are, times they are a changing. And we've got to change or we risk becoming irrelevant. And I'm not talking about being similar. I'm talking about being relevant. We need to change to be relevant. Can you say amen? You know, many times we don't change because we don't feel a need to change. Oh, I don't need to change. This shirt still fit. Does it, though? Does it, though? I don't feel a need to change. Yeah, but you know, them same sweatpants you've been wearing from last March, yeah, they smell. You need to change. I'm talking to you out of a great depth of experience because my first college roommate washed his clothes once in the semester and used a third of a tube of toothpaste in a semester. This is not okay. And this was before I had an encounter with Jesus, and so my roommate had an encounter with me. And then he changed his ways. You know what? Why did he change? Because he felt the need to change because he thought that he might get murdered in his sleep. And he might! Because that was the old man. Sometimes we don't feel the need to change, but we need to begin to feel a need for change. You know, I don't know who said this, but it's a great quote. They said this, until the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change, we will remain the same. Listen to that again. So many people are like, I don't want to change. Oh, it's painful. Yeah, but when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, then you'll change. You see, when your income stays the same but your expenses go up, there has to be a change. Otherwise, there will be pain that comes as a result of that. It's important that we change. When you don't realize what's going on around you and how things have changed and how your family has changed and how your relationships have changed, and so you haven't felt the need to change, if you'll pause and take a look around and ask somebody maybe, somebody that you trust, do I need to change? They're like, yup. I love you, but yup, you got to change. You know, I want to give you and impart to you an urgent need for change. Christians, a lot of times we don't feel a pressing need for personal holiness when we don't feel a need for personal supernatural ministry. Here's the thing. Oh, I'll just bring my friend to church. The pastor will preach the message to him. I'll just bring my friend to church and the pastor will give him a salvation message. I'll just bring my friend to church and the pastor will lay his hands on them and get them healed. No, what about you though? The Bible tells me that my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry, not for me to do all the ministry. I want you to do it because you are more anointed to be you than I am anointed to be you. You have a different way of doing things that I cannot replicate. I don't want to replicate. I want to be me. I want to be the best me. I want to be the sculpture that God removed all of the stuff that's not me so I can be me. And you want me to be the best me that I can be. But I don't like you, Pastor Jake. Well, that's your problem. You got to get take care of that. See, when we see that we have a need for personal supernatural ministry, that in our homes, in our jobs, in our schools, in our lives, everything, we need to be supernatural, all of a sudden we have a need for personal holiness because God ain't going to partner with the unholy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, you, my friend, you have access to people that I will never meet and have access to in my life. I don't know who Dre works with. I don't know who Kavehi works with or who she interacts with in her hula halau. I don't know who it is that Aaron programs with. Nobody knows them. They're in the basements. Sorry. Sorry, that was a bad taste IT joke. My bad. My bad. But we love Aaron. He came out of the basement to be with us today, which is better than coming out of the closet. Never mind. Hold on. I'm joking. Hey, we got to come out of the closet to get into the light. So, hey, that's important. That is important. You have access to people I will never know or meet in my life. So you have to be the light to them. You have to be the salt to them. I cannot be that for them. You have to be that for them. But that means that you and your personal holiness has got to take a quantum leap. Can you say amen to that? You see, to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us is super easy. It's like a well for personal hydration. But the Holy Spirit to minister through us requires something more of us. And it turns a well into a river that can touch nations. You know, my friend, I want to tell you that it's not enough for you to be okay just for you. You need to be strong for other people. You need to be a giver for other people. You need to be able to give them Jesus when they need Jesus. You need to be able to give them healing when they need healing. See, we're talking about relevance again. I love this saying by Socrates. For those of you that know Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, you know what I'm talking about. Socrates said this. The secret of change is to focus all of your energy not into fighting the old, but on building the new. Man, you don't need to fight the old. The old is dead and gone. You need to put your energy and your focus into building the new. Let's stop fighting the old and get into the new. Let's build the new. See, you can't focus on that and live this. Some people say it this way. It is dangerous to live driving looking out of your rearview mirror. Yeah. You've got to look through the front windshield. Yeah. We cannot afford to keep looking back and fighting the past. We've got to step into the now. We've got to move into the new and start building on the new thing. That's what Socrates said. I want to help you to see the new that you can be. Now, before I do that, I'm going to call some of you out. Now, those of you that have grown up under my parents in this church, you've been in leadership training for years. You've got things inside of you that have just been put in there over decades of time. And I'm telling you, you've got a wealth of anointing, a wealth of training, a wealth of understanding on the inside of you. And you've been trained in leadership in this house. I'm calling you out of retirement and back into action. We need you. Let me say that again. We need you to work in the harvest fields of God. You cannot just continue to just come to church and be like, I've been there, done that. Got the book, got the t-shirt, got the CD, got the audio tape. I'm that old. The audio tape. I remember somebody in our church, a young person, probably 17 years old now. And we're going through some old boxes and somebody found a sleeve of cassette tapes. And they gave it to this young person, and they're like, you know what this is? They're like, no, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And turns out it was an audio tape. I'm old enough to know what 8-track is. I'm just telling you, I am that old. Leaders, we need you to lead. We need you to come out of retirement, quit coasting, and come back and work in the harvest field of God. You've got it in you, and we need your help. We need your strength. We need your wisdom. We need your input. We need you to give out of, and we need your relevance to the world around us. Amen? Amen. Listen, this one's going to hit you right between the eyes, so if it hits you, I don't really apologize. It's meant to. Jesus didn't give his life for you to just go to church. He took your old life so you would be just like him. Listen to that. He didn't die for you to just come to church and to just be like, oh, well, that sermon was like, oh, it didn't really go that well, Pastor Jake. Oh, I didn't really like that illustration and pick apart my sermon. That's not what it's about. It's about being who Jesus was, but multiplied over millions of times throughout the earth. Jesus, if it was about Jesus doing everything, he would have just stuck around because the whole world would have believed. That's what the Bible says. But he wanted to put his life in us and multiply himself over and over and over again. That's why Jesus said, the things that I do, you're going to do also. And greater things than these, because I'm going to my Father. He wanted to release us to be just like him. We ought to be Jesus to the world around us. Now, I'm not saying that you should be wearing robes and have a beard. Ladies, don't have a beard. You know, whatever. I'm just saying that we need to be Jesus with skin on to the people around us. We need to take that supernatural lifestyle, the one that impacted and imparted to so many people, the one that brought the dead to life. See, that's relevance. When someone is dead and they can be brought to life, that's relevance. When somebody is blind but now they can see, that's relevance. When someone was deaf but now they can hear, that's relevance. When someone is starving and you can multiply food, that's relevance. When somebody is about to go broke but you can make money come out of a fish's mouth, or you can make oil just keep on pouring and turn them into the first oil tycoon. I mean, when someone's in jail and they can be broken out. Now, I'm not talking about legitimately in jail. I'm talking about like they should be broken out because Jesus wants them out. See, this is relevance. You can have a... I'm going to go back to this just, and it's nothing against tattoos again. I just want to say it this way. You can have all the tattoos, but if you cannot do the supernatural works of Jesus, that's not relevant. You can have the coolest mullet haircut and the most wonderful grandma cardigan that are back in style now. My wife is wearing one of them today, the grandma cardigan. You can have the coolest shoes. You can have the Yeezys. You can have the whatever. But if you can't put up when it matters, what good is it? We've got to be relevant in the relevant sort of way. It's not about similarity. It's about relevance. Jesus didn't just give his life for you to just go to church. He took your old life so you could be just like him. Let me remind you, you are the light of the world. Not just your pastor, kids, not just your parents, not just the people around you, not the elders, not the deacons. You are the light of the world. So shine brightly in the darkness, my friend. You are the salt of the earth. When things are bland around you, spice it up. I mean, bring color, bring flavor, bring wonderful, savory things to the world around you. It's like bacon. That's right, I heard it. D-Ray, that's it. Bacon, now it's a party. I want to say it to you this way, and I'm just about to land this plane. Someone is relying on you, not me. They're relying on you right now as the conduit of God's touch in their life. You know, I'm never going to touch them. I'm never going to be there with them. I'm never maybe even going to know them, but you do. God is relying on you, and other people are relying on you. The people that you can touch that I never will, that will never know me, never see me, maybe people that don't like me. That's fine, but you are the conduit of God's touch in their life. I want to beg you to not keep your hands in your pocket. I want to beg you to not keep your tongue in your face. I want to beg you to not just let them be without intersecting their life in a meaningful way. Relevant way. Amen. If they're in darkness, shine some light. Amen? Here's just one thing, and I want to offer salvation to you. For those of you that don't know Jesus Christ, this is the great Jesus that I'm talking about that wants to make you into who you're supposed to be, who wants to cause your life and your world to come alive, and for your life to have actual meaning and relevance, not just to be a blind leading the blind, but to be somebody who can actually help the blind to find where they're going and not get hurt along the way. Here's just one thing. The world around you needs you to live that light-giving, salty-tasting Jesus life. It's time to change. My friend, not one more day. Please, please, not one more day. Jake, not one more day of being that old guy. Not one more day of being what you used to be. Not one more day of living with Jesus just added on. Not one more day of playing church. Not one more day of a powerless Christian life. Not one more day. Not one more day. I want to change. I want to change. I want to change. And I hope that you do as well. You know, God put all of heaven. He wants to put all of heaven on the inside of you, just like he put all of heaven on the inside of me through Jesus Christ. And I hope that you'll take it to the world around you. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to introduce you to my Jesus. He's the Jesus that will make you relevant, that'll give you the ability to add salt and light to the world around you and to help people that are stuck in darkness to be able to see the way out. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says this, that all you need to do is you need to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That probably means you need to believe that Jesus died. And why did he die? For the great exchange. He died so that he would become your sin and crucify it and nail it to the cross so it could not come back and be a part of your life anymore. He died so that you could live. And you know what? The Bible says after you believe that God raised him from the dead, that all you need to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life. You know what that means? That means that you've taken your fingers off the GPS and off the steering wheel and off all that stuff, and you're saying, Jesus, wherever you want to take me, wherever you want to lead me, I'm going to follow. That's what Jesus being the Lord of your life is. Change through Jesus Christ. If you can do those two things, the Bible tells us that we can now be saved. That means we can be rescued, redeemed from the penalties of our sin. And not only that, but we become a child of God. We get born again into the family of God, and we become literally a child of God Almighty himself. With that, I want to just invite you today, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe you've been living a low-level Christian life, maybe you've never changed, you've never had that experience where you went from what you were to who Jesus wants you to be, you've just added Jesus on. But today, you realize that you need to change, that old life has to die, and new life has to come. Today is your day, and I invite you to pray with me. It's not a magic prayer that saves you. It's about meaning it in your heart and confessing it with your mouth, and God will hear it, God will see it, and he'll begin to change your life as you allow him to do that. I want to ask you if you'll pray this with me. Just repeat after me and mean it in your heart to the Lord, and God will see that you mean it. And by the end of these next few seconds, you'll be born again. You'll be a child of God, and God will begin to work on your life and make you into that sculpture that he means you to be and take away all the things that don't belong and that aren't the genuine, authentic, essential you. I hope that you'll pray with me right now. Those of you that are here in this room, I want to ask you if you would just pray this out with me out loud. And if you're out there, go ahead and pray it out loud, just loud enough that you can hear it. Let's pray. Would you say this? Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I realize that I need to change. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins, and I believe that you raised him from the dead. Now I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to serve him, and I'll do what he wants me to do, and I'll be who he wants me to be. God, change me. Help me to be everything that you want me to be. Because of these things, I know that I am born again. I am a child of God, and my destiny is in heaven. Thank you for saving me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with us for the first time, or maybe you've recommitted your life to Jesus, maybe you've prayed that prayer 100 times, but you meant it today, and you're coming back home to Jesus, I want to ask you if you would do us a favor and write in the comment stream or message us or something. Let us know. Just say, that's me. I gave my life to Jesus today, or I recommitted my life to Jesus. And if you can do that, then I want to tell you that you are a child of God and that you are born again. We want to send you a brand new Bible. We want to send you a gift that you're absolutely going to love and tell you how to take your next step in Jesus Christ. We won't spam you. I promise you that much. And I want to tell you that you should come on back. Don't let it be a one and done. Come on back and learn how to live this new life in Jesus Christ. For all of us, let's change this week. Let's be everything that God wants us to be and be a light in the darkness, a city built on a hill, and a salt to the earth. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Well, we invite you to come and join us on Wednesday night for prayer at 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time. We're going to pray together, take communion, and we invite you to join us on our Facebook Live. We also want to invite you to come back again next week Sunday to join us right here at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time on our Facebook channel as well as on our YouTube live channel. And the presence of God is going to be here in live praise, live worship, and in a message that's right from the heart of God, from the Bible. We invite you to join us at the Alohi Lani Resort on the last Sunday of this month. Register today. We hope that you're there. We can't wait to see you. We can't wait to bless you and to worship with you. You're amazing. We love you, and we speak the blessing of God over you this and every single week. Be blessed in Jesus' name. We love you.